Now, it's the David Todd Show.
Welcome back to hour number two of the David Todd Show. Remember, we've got a lot of baseball talk coming up here. At 5:40, we'll be talking with one of the beat writers who covers the Cubs, do our Cubs season preview. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll have Jen Langosch, who covers the Cards, do our season preview with her. We'll sneak some football in with John Clayton at 5:30, as we do every Wednesday. But 5 o'clock Wednesday means it's time to talk to our buddy Tim Williams of Pirates Prospects. And, of course, covering the Pirates down in Bradenton, been down there all spring. I can't recommend the site enough. About $30 a year, you get the prospect guide. They're better deals if you want to have longer-term subscriptions. It's got a great group of writers covering every level of the Pirates organization. And as the Pirates break camp now to come north and other guys start going to their locations, no better time than now to be a subscriber to Pirates Prospect. Tim, as always, thanks for being with us here on ESPN Pittsburgh.
Hey, David, thanks for having me on.
Okay, let's get to the injury stuff first before we get to kind of the good stuff with the rosters and where guys are going. I think people are updated on where Jung Ho Kang is. Hit a home run in one of the other exhibition games today, not the game against the Reds. He's running to first, but he's not cutting the bases. He's playing defense, so he's getting close. So he's probably a couple weeks away. Anybody else on the kind of 40-man that we should be paying attention to? And let me start with Elias Diaz.
Well, with Diaz, I mean, it's fortunately not a situation where he needs surgery.
Tim, are we 100% confident of that, or are they 100% confident of that?
Diaz is—he's mentioned that he won't need surgery. It's something that he's had in the past that hasn't impacted him this much, and you know, this was a little bit more significant. It's just a little bit sore, but he's going to need a little bit of time down before he can start throwing again. So it's the situation where it's a little more intense than before, but it's not a serious thing at the moment where it needs that kind of procedure.
Tim, when I talked about this, I mean, the concern was not really the 2016 season, although that could be a little bit of a concern if somebody were to go down. The concern is 2017. If Diaz were to miss the season with Tommy John surgery and Cervelli leaves, the cupboard's, awfully bare in terms of having depth at the catcher position.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they were able to replace Russell Martin with Cervelli, and that was a great move. It was a guy who has strong defense, who has good hitting skills, and he put it all together with the Pirates. And Diaz is kind of the same thing. If or most likely when Cervelli walks after the year, you've got another guy there who has strong defense. He's got strong hitting skills. They haven't been consistent, but you throw the defense out there, you hope for the best with the bat, and it's the ideal replacement from within, at least until Reese McGuire arrives.
Yeah. Okay. Another guy who hasn't been much on the roster, major league roster, he hasn't thrown, I don't think, at all with the major league team. But the other guy acquired in the Travis Snyder trade last year, Stephen Tarpley, the lefty who has maybe the higher upside than even Stephen Brault. He's got some arm issues.
Oblique issue, actually. So not as serious there. He's going to miss the start of the season. He was warming up for a start last week and, kind of stopped. Trainers came out. He threw one more pitch and then left holding his side. He's right now not throwing. He's strengthening the area and just getting back to a point where he can build up and get ready for the season. So they're taking it a little bit slow for him. He's going to start in Bradenton, so there's no need to rush him. But he's a high upside lefty. Like you said, Brault has gotten a lot of headlines for what he's done in the upper levels, but Tarpley is a lefty who sits 90, 94 miles an hour, touches 97, has a great changeup. And so, there's a lot to like about him. Unfortunately, he'll start the season a little bit late, but, once he does start the season, it's going to be something to look forward to.
Okay, anybody else that something more serious than a week or two?
Not too much. The biggest thing would be Jared Hughes, looking like he's going to start the season on the disabled list,
yeah,
which means at this point the Pirates would have two open bullpen spots rather than before where they were just looking to fill that last spot.
So Corey Lupke's obviously getting one of those spots to be the second lefty. Did AJ Shugel today kind of cement his case as being the guy? I thought it would be Rob Scahill if there was another righty, but is it now? Are you leaning towards Shugel, or who do you think it is?
You know, I think the difficult thing about that, if you do add Corey Luebke, you got to add Matt Joyce. He's already made the team, so you need to clear a 40-man spot for him. If you want to add Cole Figueroa, that's another 40-man spot. And then if you want to add AJ Sugal, that's a 40-man spot. So they don't have too many guys they can remove from the 40-man. You can remove guys like Rob Scahill, Trey Haley, but you know those guys.
If you add Figueroa, you're going to take Florimán off, right?
Right, you're going to take him off. I would think Florimán is the first to go for Matt Joyce. I think John Holtzcomb could probably go at this point, just the history of shoulder injuries, the fact that he was only about 91 miles an hour in camp right now. It's a long way from where he was in 2014 during that successful season. So I think, you know, depending on how long Hughes takes, they could probably go with a shorter-term move. They could go with somebody like Kyle Lovstein, who is on the 40-man roster.
Yep.
And not have to get rid of somebody just to cover a spot for a few weeks.
Okay, obviously the big news is Nicasio's in the pen, so let me circle this backwards and talk about Lobstein. Is your thought, let's say Hughes misses 10 games in the Pirate season, so April 15th he's good to go. Is your thought that Lobstein will go back to Indianapolis and be in the starting rotation so that, you know, Vogelsong's first and Lobstein second? Because, you know, if we're still assuming the young guys are going to be June, I don't know that he engendered any confidence as being the next guy. I'd think it'd be Lobstein. So would he go back down and be in the rotation?
Yeah, you know, I can see that just because, you know, they've talked about how they might have a scenario where the number six and number seven starters are in the bullpen, which would be Vogelsong and Lobstein. But I really can't see them carrying three left-handed relievers at that point. And I don't know who they would get rid of. I mean, you know, Corey Luebke, unless he's just doing horrible at that point, unless he's not looking as promising as he's looking right now, he would still be in there. And, you know, who do you get rid of to make room for Hughes? It only makes sense that it is Kyle Lobstein. So you would send him down. You would get him stretched out. And if you do need to go to seven starters before the middle of the season, you've got a guy who is at least stretched out. You don't know how well Vogelsong would go, you know, if it's into mid-May, into late May, and he's been pitching as a reliever the entire time. So I think there is some value to having a guy in Indianapolis actually pitching as a starter.
And for our listeners who aren't familiar with the technicalities, the 25-man roster is what we see from opening day basically through September when the rosters expand. The 40-man roster is, you know, a different device that you use that all your guys are protected. And to get it, you can bring a guy up and put him on the 40-man roster, but to send a guy down, he goes off the 40-man roster. He's designated for assignment if he doesn't have options left, in the case with some of these guys. And then you subject them to waivers and you can lose them. So that's the issue with some of these guys in terms of this is where Neil Huntington and the guys who run the transaction side of the business need to be paying attention. And not just that, we've seen the Pirates many times, certainly in the leaner times, look to other teams to pick off guys along the way at this time of year, because everybody's making these same decisions about who they want to put on their rosters, both the 25 and the 40 man, and how they're going to adjust with some of the minor league, major league veterans that they invited to camp and might want to keep on their team. So there's a lot going on in the transaction section, the agate tape of the papers and the MLB.com stuff that people are paying attention to. Okay, Tim, so I'm not at all disappointed that the Pirates have decided to go with Juan Nicasio, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about does the stuff play, and I think Hurdle's answer is the answer that I wanted to hear, that he's pitching differently than we've ever seen him pitch before, meaning simply his stuff is better than we've ever seen it. It's not just the 15 innings of work against in spring training. It's the bullpens. It's the work at Pirate City, everything else he's done. So I don't want to make it about the 15 innings of spring stats. It's about that. And I was never enamored of the Vogelsong signing to begin with, so I don't have a problem with it. But I did like the idea of Nicasio being a dominant seventh-inning guy potentially if things worked out with everybody else. And so that leaves a little bit of a hole there. What are your thoughts on the rotation decision?
Well, I mean, I like it. I think that Nicasio has much better stuff than either of the other two guys he was battling with, Vogelsong and Jeff Luck. The stuff definitely was better this year. You know, he had much better command of his stuff, much better off-speed stuff. He improved his slider last year, and that really carried over this year. He was working on improving the changeup as well and really focusing on that in spring. So I think, you know, you're talking about a guy who can sit 90 to 95 miles an hour in the rotation. Usually it's the higher end of that velocity early, and then in the later innings he's about 90 to 93. But good movement on his fastball, a good strikeout pitch, and can throw a changeup, and it's good throwing a changeup. So I think it's exactly the formula the Pirates have had with a lot of higher upside reclamation projects.
Well, Edinson Volk has the perfect comparison for me in terms of what he throws and
exactly.
Velocity.
I mean, you know, he's a guy who never really has had a lot of success, but you look at the stuff and you wonder why hasn't he had that success in the past. And you know, I think that there's much more upside here, but you know, straight down to it, he looked like the best pitcher. Not even looking at the numbers, he looked like the best pitcher in spring training out of that three-man group there.
Okay, so now this obviously, you know, Volquez to me now gets shuffled into the back and he becomes the long man. So it raises the profile of both Archimedes Caminero and Naftali Feliz here out of the chute. Caminero struggled a little bit. Naftali Feliz has been pretty good in spring training. Did you get a chance to see his stuff, and what'd you think?
I did, and that's where I think they're not really going to miss Nicasio as that seventh inning guy, because you've got Naftali Feliz as a guy who also has that stuff. I mean, he's been consistently sitting 94, 95. He touched 97 in his last outing. The control is much better. What I really like is that his velocity last year at the end of the year really came up. It had been down a little bit after his Tommy John surgery. Came up at the end of the year last year. His control improved. And he's carried both of those trends over to camp this year. His last outing, he had three walks, but he wasn't exactly wild. He was around the plate, just wasn't getting a lot of close calls. And you look, once again, it's a guy who has a lot of velocity, who has the ability to get strikeouts, who has had some control problems in the past. In this case, he's already started to fix those, but the Pirates have had a lot of success with that type of reliever and fixing the control and getting him to the point where, you know, he looks like a great option to have in the seventh inning and maybe even a guy who could pitch in the eighth or the ninth.
Yeah, well, that will be a huge home run. I mean, look, they obviously, you look at the investment they made, $2 million with incentives for Vogelsong, another reason he's disappointed. He's lost some money by this decision. $3 million with Nicasio and $3.9 million with Feliz. They obviously feel like there's something there, so that'll be interesting to see. Caminero, not quite as good, but for him, issues seem to be a little bit more command-related. Thoughts on him?
Well, that's what it was before, and he got to a point last year where he fixed that. He did much better, but even with that, the entire season looked good. There were times he looked dominant, but there were also stretches where, you know, he did struggle with the command. He struggled with some of his stuff, and he had some rough patches. So I think that, you know, you'd like to say that's what he's going through right now, that he just doesn't have it. They've shown that he can get back to a good point where he's commanding the fastball, where he's looking good. So the hope would be that, you know, he does get back to that point. And if Naftali Feliz doesn't work out for them in the way that I just said, where he would be that dominant seventh inning guy, maybe Caminero would be that guy. And, you know, if neither of them work out, they might have to go out and try to get a guy at the deadline. But I think that, you know, they're in really good shape with two guys who can hit upper 90s, have really good fastballs, really good strikeout stuff to pair with those fastballs. So I think that between those two guys, they should be set with the seventh inning rule.
Talking with Tim Williams of Pirates Prospects. Check him out on Twitter, at Tim Williams, P2. Let me make sure I get these both right, Tim. Give it to and at Pirate Prospects.
Yeah.
Tim, now we get down to the 25th roster spot, and with Joyce on the roster, it looks like Michael Morris, at least for the time being, is going to be on there. It's basically three guys for a spot, and it's Jason Rogers, and it's Cole Figueroa, and Pedro Florimon. And I keep telling people, somebody wanted to have a conversation with me on Twitter, that Josh Harrison can play short. He can't play short. He's played 46 innings since 2013 and zero last year. He's not playing short. Gong's not playing short. Sean Rodriguez played short today. But the other two guys are more capable shortstops. Rodriguez made another error at short today. I have to assume that last spot's going to go to one of those other two guys, with Rodgers having an option, Figueroa having an option, and Foreman not having an option.
I would think so. And, I mean, like we said earlier, Figueroa, they need to clear a spot on the 40-man. They need to waive somebody and send somebody out in order to do that. But, you know, I think that you really need that extra guy who can play middle infield, because if you go Jason Rodgers, then you've got a catcher, a defensive infielder, and three guys who are pretty much probably best for first base or corner outfield and nothing else. And, you know, they definitely need a little bit more variety. They need a guy like Cole Figueroa who can back up the outfield but can also play the middle infield. Right now they only have Sean Rodriguez. Josh Harrison, yes, he can play, but you don't take your starting second baseman and have him back up shortstop. He, you know, he's in that spot because that's the position he's going to play going forward on a consistent level. So I do think that will be the case. I also, going back to what we were talking about with Hughes, whether, you know, he's going to be out for, you know, maybe 10 days. In that scenario, if he returns in early April, I can actually see them holding on to six guys. Yep. And going with a little bit of a shortened bullpen. They've got a situation where, you know, they don't need as many pitchers. They don't necessarily need to go with five guys in the rotation the first time through, so they might be able to use Jeff Locke as a reliever at the start of the year and then move him to the rotation after once they need that fifth starter. So, you know, they could always play with the roster in that way and have somebody like Figueroa, but also have Jason Rodgers as a bat off the bench.
Tim, next time we do this, we're going to have real games to talk about, and we'll get into what's going on in terms of the rotation in in Indianapolis and some of the other levels and where everybody's sorted out in terms of the final assignments. Great job down there with you and the guys bringing us all the coverage from Bradenton. Much appreciated.
Thanks so much. Looking forward to next week when the season has started.
All right. Tim Williams of PiratesProspects.com. Check him out. Coming back, couple interesting stories going on around the sporting world. We got John Clayton at the bottom of the hour. It's the David Todd Show.
Jerry.